Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next week. We're talking about the last part of April, beginning of May, and we are in Taurus land. So this is the land of milk and honey. Taurus is the land of it is the sign of fixed earth. So we definitely have quite a lot of connection to the five senses, connection to taste, to touch. This is a great month to exercise any artistic expression that you might have, because this is the month ruled by Venus. And we'll see that there is something really interesting happening this week. We have Mars moving into his own domicile, his own home, Aries, and Venus moving to her own home, which is Taurus. So let's start off, as usual, looking at the week ahead. We'll start today, April 28th. We have quite a lot of energy in Aries still. We have the North Node in Aries, Mercury in Aries, Chiron in Aries, and Venus in Aries. So the biggest thing that's happening this week, and that's why Sunday is important to talk about the day of the week. After all, it is the day of the sun, and all the planets are orbiting around the sun. So this week, like I said, there is something really interesting. Mars, god of war, and energy. It's also, we talked about it quite a lot here, is the god of seeds and plants and green, which is a great time to be connected to Mars right now because we are in the Northern Hemisphere in spring. It's going to move away from Pisces, where it was for the last 2 months, which made us a little bit more lazy, a little bit more wishy-washy kind of action was filtered by a sense of that there is no need to make some changes and there is more need to flow and to just relax, into Aries, which is much more aggressive. So you'll see that we are literally changing gears and moving into four-wheel drive, something kind of intense. We much more faster, much more powerful when Mars is going to be in Aries, and it's going to be there for about a month and a half or so, almost 2 months. And at the same time this week, we're going to have Venus, the goddess that does rule luxurious concepts or anything to do with beauty and art and design and colors. And Venus also, in her capacity in Taurus, is not so much about peace and diplomacy. It's more about enjoying life. So while Mars, the god of war, is going to be in the sign of war, Aries, we're going to have Venus, the goddess of, you can say, money, finance, in Taurus, her own sign, the sign of luxury, the sign of the five senses. So what we have is a very interesting situation. Mars and Venus also were lovers in the Greek mythology. So having them come to their own home is really good. The fact that their homes are next to each other is also pretty good. They can kind of wave to each other beyond the fence or beyond the boundary. They're not coming together, which would have been great if they would, but they're still each one in his own home in the next month, especially in May. You're going to feel both of these energies very strong. I mean, Mars literally from May 1st, very symbolic, is moving, the communist day, the day of the workers. Mars is moving into the god of war to bring some action. And Venus is going to move, like we said, into Taurus. So that combination of the ultimate masculine and ultimate feminine moving to their own homes just enhances their expression and flows much better. So when Mars is not in a sign that he likes, he can get aggressive for no reason, or his aggression could bring catastrophes. When he's in Aries, yes, the army is on a march, but still it is somewhat organized. It's in a legion. It's not out of control. Same thing with Venus. Venus can be vain. Venus can be problematic in the sense of causing hypocrisy and causing dependency. It can cause a lot of issues when Venus is not happy. But when she's in Taurus, she feels completely relaxed. She's much more herself, the same way that you are yourself at home, rather than in a place that you're anxious or not really aware of. You might be more aggressive, you might be more timid, but when you're at home, you're home, you're walking naked, you're totally fine. That's what's happening to Mars and Venus. They're walking naked in the next month, which is great. I mean, Venus is the goddess of beauty. We don't mind her walking naked. And Mars is kind of buff and athletic from all his exercises, and we don't mind him walking naked as well. So that's what we have. Gods in the nude in the next month or so. And today, Sunday, we have the moon moving into Capricorn. The moon in Capricorn usually not really nice because it's in exile, talking about being at home compared to being in exile. But because we are in Taurus realm, you can say the fact that the moon is in Capricorn, a fellow earth sign, creates a beautiful trine to the sun, especially today and tomorrow. Very good days to get things done. So these are days that are very pragmatic, very practical, no bullshit. Because there is a transition of planets, it's always a little bit shaky because, you know, until the planets find their course, until they found their rails to go forward and move, it takes a little bit of time. The same way that when you move from one country to the other, from one apartment to the other, there is a little bit of turmoil. There's a lot of things you need to throw, a lot of new things you have to learn. Same thing with the planets. Of course, Mars and Venus are personal planets, which means that they orbit pretty fast. So they change signs every month and a half or so on the average. So that's not as dramatic, but still, it's a little bit of an adjustment this week. But that being said, the fact that we are in Taurus, which is a fixed Earth sign, it forces the planets to go fixed and then just get over yourself and move forward. You know, it's very, very grounding in a sense. So the key word today and tomorrow, even on Tuesday, because we're going to have that moon in Capricorn tomorrow and on Tuesday and a little bit of Wednesday. On Monday and Tuesday, it's a practical, pragmatic, because don't forget, the moon is now today going to trine the sun. Tomorrow and the day after, the moon is going to trine Uranus and Jupiter, which is, again, very positive, especially around things that have to do with publishing, technology, innovation, thinking outside of the box, making some kind of finding practical and also very unique and original solutions to problems that maybe before you couldn't get any kind of understanding. So this will be actually pretty good. Now, we will talk about in a second about Mars and Venus and their passage in May and when you have to be a little bit more careful with some aspects that are happening. But overall, again, the next few weeks when we have Mars in his own sign, Venus in her own sign, no Mercury retrograde, we're getting out of the shadow also, it's great. So it's going to be a really good time to make things happen. And I'm hopeful that that could also bring some resolution in the war in Gaza, because even though Mars in Aries means more fighting, there could be a feeling, especially with that Venus in Taurus, that something is changing in that respect. So that will be hopefully towards the second part of the week. We have on Sunday, today, anything else that is significant? No, I think that Venus is going to be very, very happy, and Mars, to get out of the signs that they are now in. Venus has been in Aries, which is not happy. She's in exile. Mars in Pisces, it's okay if you're a surfer, if you're a sailor, if you like swimming. But most of the time, Mars is about fire, about pushing things forward. Fish, Pisces, water is not that easy to march through the marshes. Okay, so that's why Mars moving into Aries, Venus moving into Taurus this week could spell out really good news. Now let's look at Monday, which is April 29. We have Venus officially moving on that day. Depends where you are in the world, but look at how interesting it is. Venus is 29 degrees Aries. Mars is 29 degrees Pisces. Mars is about to move into Aries. Venus is about to say goodbye to Aries, thank God, and move into Taurus, my home. So, interesting thing in Monday, it's feeling like you're almost there, but not quite. It's a feeling of being tantalized, but not really getting your reward. It's a feeling like you're almost there, one more step, and you'll make it. So, again, there is a feeling of anticipation, maybe, on Monday. There's a feeling that the work can be completed, but not quite yet. That being said, the moon is still in Capricorn, sending a little bit of a square. I mean, it's not a little bit, it's a square to Mercury and to the North Node and to the South Node. So watch how you communicate. Some words can get out of context. So be a little bit careful what you're saying, what you're writing, what you're expressing, just because the moon squaring the North Node and the South Node talks about some people from past lifetimes that might show up. There could be some issues with family members, especially women or mothers. And there could be a situation where you travel someplace or go someplace and it feels like you lived there before. Because remember, the moon is home and family, and it is squaring, causing a little bit of irritation to the south node, the north node, which always talks about karma and past lifetimes. The fact that the moon is also squaring Mercury, you know, that happens how many times a month? Twice a month. Whenever she's squaring Mercury, depends on her path. And that will happen in 2 weeks again. And it's just a little bit of a conflict between logic and emotions. Maybe your feelings are telling you to do something, but you're rationalizing. Or maybe you're thinking about doing something, but you're afraid of actually executing it. So just be aware that logic and emotions are going to be a little bit off tomorrow. But because the moon is in Capricorn, the moon's argument will be, you don't need emotions tomorrow. You just need to work. You need just to do things. There's hardly any need to focus too much on water, especially when Mars, the god of action, is moving away from the water into the fire. So again, that will be better to just kind of release. Besides that, there's not that many retrogrades, to be honest. What we have now, once Mercury gone direct, is only Minerva, which is an asteroid, going retrograde, and the North Node and the South Node, which always go retrograde in the mean form. So it's actually back to operation moving forward, you know, making things happen. So remember, we had the Mercury retrograde, we had the eclipses, we're coming out of the eclipses, and we're coming out of the retrograde, we're almost out of the shadow. So that's good news, especially towards the end of the week, we're out of the shadow, and we have no retrograde as yet. Of course, they always show up, but at least things are moving forward, so you can make things happen. On Monday, the day of the moon, the fact that the moon is in exile and opposite to Vesta and squaring north and south pole, north and south nodes, as well as Mercury, creates a box. So you might feel a little bit boxed tomorrow, a little bit maybe kind of judged maybe by certain people, labeled. But overall, again, because we have that beautiful trine between the sun and the moon, this overrides any kind of negativity and it can flow very well. Also, Vesta is sending a beautiful energy to the sun on Monday. Again, something that can really help around the home and the family. If we move forward to Tuesday, Tuesday is April 30th and Venus officially moved into Taurus, and Mars is, depends where you are in the world, but most likely moving into that to Aries also on that day. So Tuesday is a day of transition. It's a day of change. Tuesday, I'm actually, if you are in LA or if you know anybody who is in LA, I'm going to do the first time ever the embodying of astrology. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at your chart and we're going to bring representatives of the planets in your chart to interact with, so you can learn a little bit more about your chart in a practical way. It's kind of combining together family constellation with astrology. So we'll try that out. So if you're into guinea pigging, we're going to have it on Tuesday, April 30th from 6 to 8:30 at night. So you can go to my website or you can go on Instagram to my link to see it. It will be an experiment. So if you want to join this experiment, definitely join us if you are in LA. And by the way, I added some webinars that I'm going to be doing in person in London in July 27, but also it's going to be available as webinar with a recording. And it's going to be about how to become a bender of your element, you know, the airbender, the waterbender, the firebender. So we constructed the whole class about how to connect to the element through Kabbalah, through astrology, through the elementals, with these creatures that you can connect to that embody the element. And of course, the royalty in the tarot cards that can be used as messengers. So those will be on the July 27. And also I'll do again the cycles, astrological cycles workshop that we did before once. And we're going to talk about it actually today, because we're going to talk about the Saturn return of the demonstrations in Colombia from 1968. So again, cycles, July 27. I'm going to add more webinars along the way, so you can always check on my website, cosmicnavigator.com. So Tuesday, we have the moon at the edge of Capricorn about to move into Aquarius. And of course, when the moon moves into Aquarius, she activates Pluto. And Pluto is the lord of death and transformation. So Tuesday, there is definitely a lot of transformation. I didn't plan it to do the workshop of that day. It just happened to be like that. But it's a great time because Aquarius is the sign of astrology, and the moon moving into Aquarius on Tuesday, sitting on top of Pluto. That happens once a month. She activates that Pluto energy of death and resurrection, sexuality, passion, intimacy. Those things are really, really strong on Tuesday. It is the day that is ruled by Mars, the god of war, and Mars is moving from Pisces into the sign of war, Aries, on that day. And also, it's a day that God blessed twice by saying, it is good, in Genesis. So unless he's a stuttering God, and that's why he said it twice, we can deduct that it's a pretty good day, Tuesday. That's why a lot of weddings in Judaism are conducted on Tuesday, because it's blessed twice. What they don't realize is that it's also the day of Mars. And then if you get married on Tuesday, which is the day of Mars, well, Mars is your guide for this wedding and for this marriage. And Mars is the god of war. Yeah, good sex, but also war. Maybe it's all about makeup sex for them. Anyway, Tuesday, doubled good, according to Genesis. And we're moving from Pisces into Aries. What's happening also on Monday and Tuesday is that we have Neptune conjunct Mars. That's going to be guiding you. And I think we talked about it last week on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So the first part of the week is Neptune on top of Mars. Neptune is the god of sleep. It's the god of mysticism, movement, intuition, imagination. Mars is action. Just glue those things together. Action based on imagination. So you imagine something, go do it. You have an intuition about doing something or not doing something, do it or don't do it. You know, it's really strong connection to putting together your intuition and your action. And that's not always coming together. You know, Mars is very much about action. Neptune is the god of Pisces, which is sleeping. Don't wake me up. Mars is the alarm clock. But when they come together, you know what they say, that when you wake up in the middle of a dream, you remember it. So that maybe is a clue that Monday, Tuesday, we're going to have a lot of dreaming, a lot of memories of dream, because Mars is going to awake us in the middle of the dream. It also could be that you're going to be blowing up or kind of puncturing through some bubbles or illusions, because Neptune can create illusions and Mars is very sharp and can break through them. So again, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, guided by Mars on top of Neptune. That happens once every 2 years, so it's kind of significant. And the fact that Mars is moving into Aries, again, once every 2 years, he comes to his own sign. He kind of begins a cycle in the zodiac, and it is a call to action. So from April, let's say from May 1st, the day after Tuesday, it is the call to action. We'll get there in a second. But the beautiful thing about what's happening on Tuesday is we're moving and shifting towards an energy of Taurus. So May is the month of Taurus. And because we have Jupiter once in 12 years in Taurus and Uranus once every 84 years in Taurus, the fact that we have also the Sun every year in Taurus and Venus every year and a half in Taurus, it's all a convergence of Taurus energy. And Taurus is finance, Taurus is art, design, colors, everything has to do with values and self-worth. So it's going to be a pretty interesting time. The fact that we have no retrogrades that are significant, and the fact that we have so much Taurus, and it's going to be even more enhanced when the moon moves into Taurus. We'll talk about it when it happens. That will be something to pay attention to. The only thing about Tuesday that can be a little bit rough is in relationships. The moon is squaring Venus and can aggravate it a little bit, especially because Venus is also squaring Pluto. So watch it a little bit on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday with relationships or with attraction of the femme fatale or whatever it is that you're attracted to. Just be a little bit careful of the bad boys or femme fatale. You want a toxic masculinity and toxic femininity, especially toxic femininity, because Venus is going to be squaring Pluto. Pluto is manipulative. Venus is relationship, partnership. It also could be related to finance. So there could be some unexpected expenses coming up on Tuesday. Just watch it a little bit. That being said, it's still funny that the black moon that we're used to being our enemy, for some reason in the last few weeks, she's kind of supporting us. She's constantly getting trined. The reason why is, of course, because Jupiter and Uranus are very slow planets, and they're right now 22 degrees Taurus. The black moon is 23 degrees Virgo, it's a perfect trine. So it's almost as if the black moon is occupied with something else in a different dimension. So she's not affecting us so much. So until she returns, it is a great time to avoid any kind of negativity from inside or from outside. The moon is also sending a good energy on Tuesday to the black moon, so she can be quiet. Also, what's happening on Tuesday is the beautiful trine between Jupiter and Uranus and the moon. So that also can be very, very helpful. So overall, it is a day that things can get a little bit rough in relationship, but on the job level, on career level, it should work actually pretty well. Now let's look at May 1st. May 1st is a pretty interesting day because the moon is moving into Aquarius, the moon of communities, people, groups, organizations, nonprofit, some kind of connection maybe to friends. It would be great on Wednesday and Thursday to do something with a group of friends. The sun and the moon are squaring on Wednesday. It can create a lack of satisfaction or not always feeling like I'm on the right track. Again, the moon has moved away from her exile, so she's no longer in exile. She's in Aquarius. She's visiting the aliens. But because the sun is in Taurus, we have a lot of fixations. What is going on? The moon, Taurus in Aquarius. Sorry, the moon, Pluto in Aquarius. Fixed air. We're stubborn. Venus, sun, Uranus, Jupiter in Taurus. Fixed earth. So there's a lot of feeling of being stuck. 60% of the chart is in fixed signs. We should have only about 33. So again, 33%, I'm saying. So again, it is a feeling of a little bit stuck. That being said, if you need to do something in your life that represents stability and groundingness and anchoring, that's a great day to do it. Wednesday, Thursday, because whatever you're doing at that time can get grounded. It's like planting a tree and you can get the fruits, but it's not about planting something that you want to constantly move around or any kind of project that you wanted to shift and change. Maybe it's not the best time to start on Wednesday because we have a lot of fixed energy, so it could be a slow start. But if you have something you've already started and you need to give it a big push forward, that's going to be great because A, Wednesday, May 1st is officially Mars in Aries. So imagine whatever your project had, like this kind of thrusters in the back, or you're hitting the turbo and suddenly you're like whoosh, flying way faster. So it's a very big shift of energy level. So the Mars moving into his own sign, like we said, is going to be a big boost, especially because Minerva, who is also a goddess of war like Mars, is in Sagittarius, the beginning of Sagittarius, and Mars being in the beginning of Aries really creates a beautiful trine between the two. There is the ability to have the strength to win war, and you have the strategy of the day after, something that is definitely lacking in the Middle East. So we have some kind of connection in Wednesday that could be very positive, especially for that area in the world. So let's hope that Minerva, the goddess of wisdom, bring wisdom to the unfortunate people who are now leading all the camps and all the sides in the Middle East problem or issue. So Mars being in Aries, getting supported by Mercury, communication, knowledge, wisdom in Aries, and Chiron, the healing of Aries and the North Node, is just allowing a lot of Aries, good Aries, to be over there while Mars is coming into the ranks. So again, very interesting connection that we have 40% of the chart in Taurus, 30% of the chart in Aries, 20% of the chart in Pisces, and 20% in Aquarius. So literally we have consecutive signs. Aquarius comes after Pisces, after that Aries, and after that Taurus, and all the planets are there. All the planets are basically in that segment, that area. So of course, if you belong to one of these signs, you're participating in this journey. And it is an interesting time because it's the last two signs and the first two signs. That's where we have all the planets. Act 3, Act 1, Act 2 is kind of missing, and that's what we have to be aware of, that it's easy to begin things, it's easy to bring them to completion or to end them, but the middle part is a little bit missing. So just to be aware of that. Now, the moon is sending beautiful energy to the Lord Karma, the North Node, the South Node. That's also really, really positive. And also Saturn is sending a trine to Vesta. That's also good for anything to do with home and family. And we don't have that many oppositions going on Wednesday. That means that most of the issues are in our head, that we can overcome them. But there is, again, a general lack of satisfaction. The Venus and Pluto are peaking their square. So again, pay attention to relationship, partnership, even how you spend money at that day, Tuesday and Wednesday. That being said, Venus being in Taurus can generate money also, and Mars being in Aries give you the energy to actually go ahead and do it. So that's what we have on a Wednesday. If we look at May 2nd, which is, what is it, a Thursday, we have the moon still in Aquarius, and the moon is doing a little bit of a square to Jupiter and Uranus. Again, moon is squaring Uranus talks about unpredictability, meetings with people that you might actually rather not meet. And it talks about kind of strange connection to people who are, or communities or friendships that might be a little bit different. That being said, also the moon squaring Jupiter could mean that you're smothering, that you're trying too much. So be a little bit more careful about that. The moon in Aquarius is very good, again, for community. So that's why I suggested Wednesday and Thursday to focus on friendships, on communities, on people, because we still have that Uranus-Jupiter very close to each other, and they support new friendships. And also, the fact that the moon is squaring Jupiter just makes you overdo things emotionally, or you can be very emotional at that time. So if any kind of emotional ups and downs are happening on Thursday, just don't take them too seriously. Besides that, Mars is sending, again, stronger and stronger energy towards Minerva. So my feeling is that if there's any solution that could come, if there could be any deal with hostages or ceasefire, the end of this week will be very, very positive for that. One of the more positive times in long, long periods. So hopefully Thursday or Friday can bring about that thing. Even though what's happening on Thursday is kind of a big deal, we have Pluto threatening his retrograde. Now, you can't really do much about it because Pluto retrogrades half of the time because he's such a slow planet. He's going to be going retrograde all the way up until basically November, because he's going to be retrograding all the way to Capricorn. Remember, we talked about it from September 19, and only in November he's starting to come out of Capricorn into Aquarius, which probably means that he's going direct. So we have him now until basically the elections retrograding. And Pluto retrograde, again, half of the year he does that, so it's not like a big deal. But Thursday and Friday, again, because we have so many fixed signs, remember we talked about Venus, Sun, Uranus, Jupiter being in Taurus, which is a fixed sign. The Moon is in Aquarius, fixed sign. Pluto is in Aquarius, fixed sign. And now not only is he in a fixed sign, he's now going to be stationary, fixated, and fixed on Thursday and Friday. And Saturday, he's going to start retrograding. And Pluto stationary, you know, I would really recommend on that day not to be overactive, not to do too many things, even though Mars will want you to do it. Just because Pluto stationary, you want to be as above, so below. You want to kind of, especially on things that have to do with finance, investments, don't move a lot of money around. There could be some kind of craziness around the stock market around that time. But Pluto stationary, I would rather Thursday and Friday that you take it easy. If somebody is trying to gossip or manipulate or be abusive, don't respond. Just absorb it and try not to do anything about it. Once Pluto is going retrograde, you can have your revenge. But on a Thursday and Friday, try to be a little bit more calm and absorb the things. Just because it's a little bit dangerous there with all the moon squaring Uranus and Jupiter while Pluto is going stationary on Thursday again and Friday. So just be a little bit more mindful. Pluto in Aquarius, there could be some transition and changes in the context of communities and people. And remember in the 2024 book, I specifically said Pluto in Aquarius, revolution, demonstrations. So we see what's going on with the universities, mainly United States. And also, it's mainly in the social studies. It's not so much with science. It's kind of an interesting thing because you would expect actually the people that are in humanities to know much more about history and about what's going on. But it's actually that they are completely confused, and the people from the science or the more precise studies are less confused about what's going on. So we'll talk about it in a second. But the idea is that Pluto in Aquarius, stationary. Again, there are people who are stuck in or occupy some loans in universities. Again, that's kind of interesting. Pluto in Aquarius. Aquarius is revolution, power to the people. Stationary, stuck. We don't want to move here. Maybe on Thursday, Friday, there's going to be more issues, especially with the demonstrations. Again, because the moon is in Aquarius and Pluto is stationary in Aquarius on Thursday and Friday. And if we look at May 3rd, which is a Friday, on May 3rd, something is shifting. The moon is moving into Aquarius. Pluto, of course, is still stationary. Moon is moving into Pisces. And the moon in Pisces is going to join Saturn and Neptune in Pisces, even though Neptune next year, by the way, is moving into Aries. So next year is, I'm just started writing the 2025 book, by the way. And if you guys have any suggestions, because I know some people were confused by the last year's format. Some people told me it's the best thing ever that I changed the format. I'm planning to change it again. So if you have any suggestions, please send it over before I start writing it. Because after I start writing it, I'll be very annoyed with suggestions. So it's better to do it before. The moon moving into Pisces is very supportive of Venus, Sun, Uranus, and Jupiter being in Taurus. And the moon in Pisces, especially for the weekend, is always good. Because the moon in Pisces likes to sleep late. It likes to enjoy life. It likes to say yes to activities. It wants to go out to have fun by the water. And having the moon in Pisces, Neptune in Pisces, Saturn in Pisces, there's quite a lot of Pisces energy in the weekend. A lot of connection to imagination, yoga, meditation, dreams. Just be careful of fantasy, but overall, it's a really nice flowing energy. And just be a little bit more mindful on Sunday, on Monday, when the moon touches Saturn. That happens every month. Somebody has to touch Saturn. It's almost like Saturn needs a little bit of touch, like a massage. And once a month, the moon comes there because she's the only one that wants to touch him. And she does that. So she's massaging on Saturday. Maybe it's a good day for massage, but we'll talk about Saturday in a second. But the moon being in Pisces, again, the instinct is to trust your intuition, heightened intuition. So really pay attention to your intuition and try to guide Mars, action, and Venus, finance, based on the moon in Pisces, which has to do a lot with, again, intuition and saying yes to things. Overall, it's a very positive energy there. Mars is sending even better energy of strategy on Friday. So even though Pluto is stationary, I still think that there could be some movement that could be positive on May 3rd and May 4th if the parties involved are going to finally sign the release of the hostages and the release of Gaza. You know, so hopefully that can happen. Again, just because Venus is in her sign, Mars is in your sign, Moon in Pisces is actually pretty positive. But there could be some pushback on Saturday. Saturday could be a little bit more tough in that sense. We'll talk about it in a second. But overall, what you have on Friday is a good day to go out, a good day to create strategy and decisions about the future. Brainstorming, great for that, because again, you have a lot of activity in Aries, which is the head, and the fact that Mars and Neptune are sending a beautiful energy to each other, it's great for strategy. It's great for coming up with a plan. If we look at the weekend, so we can cluster Saturday and Sunday together. The moon is going to be on Saturday in Pisces. So at the beginning of Saturday, just to be a little bit more aware that the moon is going to be kind of smack between Saturn, karma, and challenges, and some kind of heaviness, and Neptune, which is actually intuition, mysticism. So it's kind of interesting. The moon is there between Saturn, which is skepticism, and Neptune is gullibility. Saturn, which is a heaviness and too traditional. Neptune is, let's flow with things. Let's just be easygoing and chilled. Saturn is very conservative. Neptune could be a hippie. So you have that moon right between those two planets that don't necessarily see eye to eye, you can say. But pay attention to your immune system. Pay attention to your joints, teeth, bones, skins. Skins, I mean, if you have a few skins, if you have one skin, you should just pay attention to it. But it's knees, did I mention? Just because those things can be a little bit more problematic. And especially, I'm saying it on Saturday because some of you guys are marathon people and biking people. So just be a little bit more aware. Especially because Mars is a call to action, a constant call to action. So you're going to have a whole month, 2 months almost, of constantly being called into action. So just be aware, because of all these call to action, Saturn and Pisces and Neptune, your immune system, lymphatic system, knees, I told you, be a little bit more mindful. And in May 4, Pluto is starting its retrograde. It's starting to go backward. Again, it does that for half a year. We can't, you know, lament that or be sad about it. You can't stop your life. Just to be a little bit more aware that there could be some moments of a little bit more abusing. I say a little bit a lot because I don't want to scare you. I don't know if you can say a little bit a lot because it kind of doesn't make sense. It sounds like a con, you know. But again, Saturday, the moon in Pisces does give you some ability or some, let's say, the ability or even the ability, the permission to sleep late and to be a little bit more dreamy, more daydreaming. But it's also a very imaginative and creative day. So it's a great time to spend with kids doing creative projects. And the moon is going to be on Saturday sextiling Uranus and Jupiter and the sun. Sextile, we talked about it. It's a tiny little window that opens and closes, but you can sneak through. So it can bring some kind of good vibe or some kind of a positive flow if you catch it in time, because it's kind of fast. It goes just in and out really fast. Besides that, Pluto, no, that's already done. Pluto is sending actually, yeah, actually Pluto is sending a beautiful energy to Mars. That's actually really good on Saturday. On Sunday, Pluto and Mars sending vibes to each other is very connected to passion, sexuality, intimacy. That's already going to start on Friday. So Friday and Saturday, you have a sextile again, a tiny little door that opens between the two rulers of Scorpio. So it's definitely about passion, intimacy, sexuality. And even though Pluto is retrograde, investments are going to start moving much better around that time. That's for Saturday. And then Sunday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, we have the moon in Aries and activating all that Aries energy. So the moon shifts and joins Mars. So it could be a little bit aggressive on Sunday. Be careful if you're partying on Sunday for Cinco de Mayo that you're not drinking too much or, you know, driving and drinking especially. Because what I'm saying, it Mars is action, driving. Neptune is intoxication. So be a little bit careful on Sunday of that. But the moon in Aries in Sunday, on Sunday, on top of Mars, on top of the North Node, on top of Mercury, is a call for a new beginning. So definitely use the fact that we don't have that many planets retrograding. We're coming out of the shadow of Mercury for sure. And there is a lot of the planets are like saying, okay, what do you want to start? What do you want to begin? What do you want to initiate? So that's going to be good for Sunday and also for next Monday, because the moon is still going to be in Aries next Monday. And then it's going to move in Tuesday, Wednesday of next week into Taurus, really activating that Taurus energy. Remember, the moon, it's not so important all the time what sign she is, but it's sometimes more important which planet she's activated as she's traveling. So sometimes she's that feather in the back of the camel that makes things shift. I'm not saying it's going to break the camel. I'm just saying it makes the camel go left and right, even though you're trying to push him to the left the whole time. Now comes a little feather from an eagle or a hawk, and whoops, the camel is going to the left. So what I'm saying is, there is something about the moon that when she moves into a sign that's already loaded, she can break it open in a sense. And that's a lot of time what the moon is doing. She's doing Sunday, Monday, that to Aries. And then she's going to move Tuesday, Wednesday to do that to Taurus. But on that, we'll talk next week. Let's see what I wanted to talk about today. And there's a few things. Yeah, something I sent it already on Instagram. Maybe you have noticed that. If you're following me on Instagram, Following is a terrible word. If you're actually reading some of the things I'm putting there or looking at some of the things I'm putting out there, well, you might have seen what I talked about in the context of Saturn return. But let's get to it. First of all, I want to talk about that Mars in Aries that starts on May 1st and is going to be there until June 8th. So first of all, we're talking about the god of war, yes, Mars, but it's also the god of energy and passion. Don't forget that Mars is also the traditional ruler of Scorpio, which is the sign of transformation, sexuality, investment, intimacy. And you can understand why, for example, they always complain about Wall Street or people that work in finance that are very alpha-oriented. Some of them are very self-centered because it's very much ruled by Mars. In order to succeed, you have to be the first. You have to elbow thing. You have to think faster. You have to look at the future. You have to be aware of transitions and transformations in prices, in the news, because all they affect. I mean, obviously, all the stocks that are there are the combination of information that has that product or that concept and all the information about it from the history and some information that people suspect about the future. So think about stocks as a way, as an indicator of the results of all the information about that in the past or in the future. So if I'm talking about my, my Apple phone, the stock of Apple is the combination of, yeah, whatever that phone is, but also the information about that phone in the past, or the fact that Apple is trying to develop an AI and put it in the phone. Oh, that's information about the future. Of course, it can affect the price. So what I'm saying is that Mars, being in air in Mars, is the god that has to do with trading, that sense of trading, especially with commodities, with securities, with everything that has to do with other people's money, other people's talents. That's coming from Scorpio, the transformation. That's coming from Scorpio. But from Aries, Mars got the god of war, but also the god of seeds. So the idea behind Mars is that it's not only about fighting, it is also about putting the seeds in the ground and growing things. You know, it's the DNA in a way. So Mars coming back to Aries, his own sign, once in 2 years is a big deal. It brings Mars to the fullest of its power. So Mars coming to his domicile is a fancy word for home, is a really good thing. And he talks about a new beginning, new conquests, boldly going where no one has gone before. The mission is the most important. So right now, from May 1st to 8th, you have to declare to Mars, what is it you want? What is your mission? So imagine you having this whole army of legions and the head of the legions is coming to you and says, my liege, what would you want? And you're like, I don't know. That's a problem because you have a whole legion there. And if they're not going to have a mission, they're going to start fighting among themselves. They're going to go to the villages and start raping them. They're going to start pilgrimage other places or causing war with another friend of yours so that at least he has something to do, because Mars is kind of, he needs something to do. So you have to give Mars a mission, something to do with, something to help you with. And to be a little bit more aware, May 17 to 19, that's the time where Mars is going to be conjuncting the North Node. You're full of power. You're full of energy. You're moving forward. That's a great time because the dragon is coming with the soldier. So remember, Mother of Dragons and how much fire she had and what she did in the last season of Game of Thrones. So that's the same thing. You know, be a little bit more aware. There's a lot of fire happening May 17 and 19. And also May 27 to May 31, Mars is going to be conjunct Chiron. Chiron is the teacher of Mars, so it's not so bad. And still, it could bring old wounds, or you have to be a little bit careful of overtraining or getting wounded from something sharp. So be a little bit careful when you're dealing with that. Again, that's Mars in Aries, May 1st to June 8th. The other thing we said is Venus being in Taurus. Venus being in Taurus from April 30th to May 23rd. Again, very strong energy. It talks about Venus returning back to her place, to her home, which means that she channels her energy the best. Venus is all about beauty and art and design and colors. But when she's in Taurus, the filter of Taurus, then she comes across much more in connection to the five senses, to food, to music, to art, to finance, to values, and to self-worth. These are the things that Venus can fix and help you with in the next, a month and a half, almost 2 months. But pay attention, May 7 to May 8, we have five planets in Taurus. Moon, Sun, Venus, Jupiter, Uranus, 50% in one of the signs. So that's definitely a great deal of emphasis in Taurus. And remember, we said whenever there is so much planet in one sign, it radiates to the other. Therefore, a lot of the stuff that Taurus is projecting is going to be seen on the screen of Scorpio. Transformation, sexuality, intimacy, working with other people's money, other people's talents. Remember, they're holding space to each other. When there is a lot of action in Taurus, it will be projected in Scorpio. A lot of action in Scorpio, it'll be projected in Taurus. And don't forget, Taurus is Mother Nature. So we might hear something from Mother Nature, whether it's weather that's going to be a little bit off, or there's some earthquakes, hopefully not, or there is some, doesn't have to be bad things, but it also could be something pretty good in connection between finance and technology and innovation, especially on May 17 to 18. Pay attention to that. I think that we also said that May 17 to 18, the North Node is going to be conjuncting Mars. Now we see that May 17 and 18, we have another conjunction of Venus with Uranus. Meeting with crazy, strange people, unpredictability around finance. There could be fluctuating, going up and down, especially in the stock market. Some adjustments going on there. It's not the easiest time. And pay attention, May 21st to 23rd. One of the best things that's actually supposed to happen is in this year is Venus and Jupiter conjuncting one on top of the other. Great energy. It has to do a lot with the concept of fortune and good luck and expansion with finance. So let's see how that works in around the bitcoins, around cryptocurrencies, and around the stock market, around the economy, around the world in general. But definitely there could be something really interesting around music and art. Now, if you think about Venus in Taurus, for Tauruses, obviously, it's very, very important. And for Scorpios, the opposite sign, it might mean a little bit of opposition, meaning that they might have to figure out how much do I focus on myself, how much I focus on partnership or people around me. And it can create a little bit of a mirror image for Scorpios. But for Aries, it is going to actually, the Venus is going to fall in the 12th house. There's going to be some meeting with people from past lifetimes. For Tauruses, we said it's about everything, basically. For Gemini, it's going to be much more in the house. Sorry. I think that I, yeah. In Gemini, it's going to be more about, sorry, I messed it up. Let's see. No, actually, you know what? For Tauruses, it's going to be about everything if you put Venus in Taurus. But for Aries, it's going to be actually, affecting in the house of letting go. For Gemini, it's more about communities, people, groups, organizations. For Cancer, it could be focusing much more on their career. For Leo, it's more about connection to foreigners, foreign people, the truth, philosophy. For Cancer, for Leos, it's going to be about sexuality and passion and intimacy. And for Virgos, it's going to be more about relationships. But I think that what will be the most important thing is to focus on Taurus, Venus in Taurus, in the sense that regardless of your own sign, what Venus in Taurus means, because it's back into her own home, is that she really wants to focus on money and talents and basically self-worth. That's going to be the most important thing. And now let's look at, one of the most important things I wanted to talk about today is the peril. You know, whenever I read in the news, I try to understand cycles in astrology, like how they kind of work. And then when I was looking at one, I think it was from The Economist, I saw this article about how in Columbia University's in 1968, the very famous demonstrations and movement, the hippies we mentioned earlier, it started. So in 1968, it was starting in Columbia University, of course, get out of Vietnam, against the war in Vietnam. And it eventually accumulated, or let's say it got to the most profound moment in 1968, in August, in the Chicago Democratic National Convention. And at that time, if you remember, 650 or 700 people were arrested. And it was a big deal because they couldn't elect a representative that was good enough for the general election. And because of that, Richard Nixon actually won. And of course, Richard Nixon said that he's going to end the war in Vietnam within one day. Of course, he lied. And it's very similar to what might happen right now if because of some issues and problems in the Chicago Democratic Convention that is planned this year as well in the summer, which is kind of interesting because it's happened last time, 1968. So 1968 is a second Saturn return. It's 56 years ago. Remember, we talked about Saturn return being 56 to 60, as well as 27 to 30. So we're talking about the National Democratic Convention returning back to Chicago. That was the last time that we had this Saturn in the same place. And because of that, the elections went a little bit off. Obviously, if you know history, Nixon was the worst possible and competing only with some late president. And it is the same idea. He lied about saying, I'm going to end the war in Vietnam in one day. And of course, now Donald Trump said that he would end the war in Ukraine in one day. And he also referred to the war in Gaza that he can resolve with no problem. So again, this is repeating itself. So I hope that we kind of learn. There is an interesting thing from The Economist, Irony of History. Dr. Iyer says, how could Richard Nixon be elected as a peace candidate? Because that's what happened after the convention. Though President Nixon intensified the war, he claimed as a candidate to have a secret plan to end it. Same thing with Donald Trump, has said that he would end the war in Ukraine in one day. It's really interesting how history repeats itself, and the way she repeats itself herself is through the patterns of astrology. And again, that's something we're going to talk about a lot in the webinar of July 27. So again, it seems interesting because there is a difference always when there is when there is returns, they return, but it's not completely the same always. The same way that when I look at the mirror, my image is reversed. So everybody's saying that the peace, the demonstration now in the colleges are very peaceful and loving and they're singing together. But apparently it's not true for people who actually are there. So here is just a little card of somebody saying, stop calling these peaceful protests. If the protests threatened to kill us, steal our signs, told us to go away back to Germany, chanted all of Palestine is Arab and called for an intifada. Intifada, as you know, is a revolution that killed many, many Palestinians and many, many Israelis. So basically it's calling for war. So you see all these kids that are basically misunderstanding history or not really aware of history, which is kind of interesting because they're in university and Ivy League universities. They're supposed to have good professors and good classes, and they're usually from humanities. So they're supposed to learn about history, but I think that something's really off compared to 1968, when everything was about peace and love and harmony and hugging. You remember hair, singing, all of that was that. This time round, there are marchers who are chanting, there is only one solution, Intifada Revolution. Yeah, I know it's a rhyme, but it doesn't mean that everything that is rhyming is also true. Referring to the deadly Palestinian uprising. Another chant repeated was, Yemen, Yemen, make us proud, turn about another ship around. They're talking about the Houthis that have declared death to America and death to Israel. Okay, death to the Jews, who cares? But death to America? These kids are basically chanting for the Houthis to be successful in their slogan to death of America. I mean, this is not a dissonant, cognitive dissonance. This is pure stupidness. I'm sorry, but it's kind of ridiculous. The other thing that was really interesting for me to witness is this very famous picture of this clueless guitar player guy who is sitting in front of an RK-70 and the flag of Hezbollah. And Hezbollah also declared that America is the devil. And this is from Ellie David, who wrote on X, Dr. Ellie David, how stupid should they be to call themselves peace activists while sitting next to a flag of Hezbollah terrorist organization? I bet they think that AK-47 rifle is a flag, in the flag is a guitar. Nedal Al-Amari said, and he's a reporter that risks his life to report from Syria, right? The terrorist Hezbollah flag has been raised in American university. Hezbollah terrorists have killed thousands of Syrians and displaced entire cities. Some foolish students support this terrorist organization, similar to ISIS. Hezbollah is designed as a terrorist organization in several countries around the world, including the United States. Therefore, every student who raises the terrorist Hezbollah flag in university campuses should be expelled. Now, I'm not talking about who should be expelled, because I think these kids don't really know what they're doing. But I think that some of the professors should just come down there and explain to them, okay, it's nice what you're playing with your guitar, but hey, pay attention. This flag is not what you mean. It's not really on your side. If you go to that place over there, they're probably going to kill you or behead you. So better do something different. And the interesting thing about all of this is that, again, 1978 was the Chicago convention that was disrupted by a lot of demonstration. I'm concerned that this year will be the same thing. And then we elected Nixon as a result, which was a terrible president. 1967 also falls under the Saturn return. And that was the time of the Six-Day War, which started basically started a Palestinian issue, but it took it to the next level with the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza, if you think about it. So Gaza, where we have now the problem, the issue of it started in 1967 when it was taken from or conquered from Egypt, not from Palestine, but from Egypt. That was 1967. That was two Saturn return ago. One Saturn return ago, 1994-95, was, of course, the Oslo Accords that almost resolved the situation, but eventually with the death of Rabin, or the murder of Rabin, but a fanatical Jew, religious Messianic Jew, who basically some of his guys are now in the government in Israel. That was also around the Saturn return. So it's kind of fascinating how these Saturn returns work and how we are under their spell in a sense, but it's up to us to decide how we're going to manifest that retrograde or that return. Sorry. So thank you very much for being with us today, with me. And I hope that you have a lovely weekend. Academics who are fearful to the impact to cancel culture. I agree. There is fear. Fear is the mind killer. You know, you just have to listen to Frank Herbert to know what the situation is. If there are professors who are afraid of talking to be canceled, then there is definitely, they're in the wrong position, the wrong profession. If they're afraid of being canceled, they should do something that is not cancelable. Maybe an accountant or somebody who maybe is not in danger of being kicked out by the way or what they say. But I think it's their responsibility and the responsibility of the university to be impartial. I don't know if there needs for policing and all that kind of stuff. Maybe, I don't know, I'm not in these universities. I know that you're talking only about 2% or so. They calculated how many of these actual, so it's not like a phenomena that's not yet, at least. Hopefully it's not going to get there. But the whole thing in one sense, you know, a lot of the kids are very afraid of feeling emotionally distressed or emotionally, you know, there's a good book called the Anxiety Generation or the Anxious Generation, where I really recommend reading, which basically is the results of TikTok and social media and all of that. In one sense, they're really afraid of being emotionally hurt. In the other sense, they're screaming stuff that's basically genocide and killing people. So this cognitive dissonance is a problem that we all need to fix. I don't think it's only the kids, and I don't think it's only TikTok. After all, the people that created TikTok are boomers and millennials and X. So you can't blame them for the results of things that were done by other generations. But definitely the cognitive dissonance is the disease of the 21st century. It's much worse than COVID, by the way. Thanks a lot. Hopefully next week will be a great week. And hope we have something nice to talk about for next week. Thanks a lot. And good luck with Mars and Venus.